Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. So glad to be back with you today. God bless you. I'm glad you joined us. I do pray that the words that I speak will be words that the Lord has directed and that you will gain from them and learn more about the truth of God's Word and how to discern and know the truth better. So that's our goal. That's our prayer that you would accomplish that. Today, I want to talk a little bit about knowing the Word. It's so important, as we all know, to know the Word of God. Not just to read it, but to know it. And in Psalm 119:11 puts it perfectly. Verse 11 says, that's Psalm 119:11, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And what they're saying there in a nutshell is that if you read the Word, study the Word, to learn the Word and learn to know the Word, it will be in your heart. It'll be in your mind. And because of that, you've got the Word in you, and it's your barrier. It's your guardian to help you to not sin. Because when you start to do something that is a sin, that's wrong, you will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And you won't want to sin. You won't want to make that mistake. You will know and be chastised just for the thought of that sin. And that's why the Word has to be hid in your heart and be a part of you, that you know it. And you know it just like the old saying is, I know that I know. I know that I know. And that's how the Word has to be to you. You have to know it. Let's take a look down here in Luke 12:15. Says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." So see, you gotta remember that life is not just about having things. Life is about knowing the Word of God. Now, what's the purpose of knowing the Word of God? I should have continued on that. Life is about knowing the Word of God, living the Word of God, and then reaping the benefits of the Word of God, and that is to dwell with God forever in heaven, the most wonderful place you're ever going to see or experience is heaven. That's the reward you're going to reap. But to do that, you have to know the Word. And if you don't know the Word, that's where you fall in to the traps and the snares of the false, what we call false prophets and false teachers out there. There's a lot of people out there preaching that you can have heaven on earth today, that you are to be victorious. Sure, you're to be victorious. Victorious over death. Not victorious to become the wealthiest man in the world. Not victorious to have 19 jet planes or 3 jet planes or anything else. You can only fly one at a time, folks. We've misled ourselves into thinking that we're supposed to have, that it's all about me. That's not the case. That's why in Luke 12:15 it said, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." You see that? That's not what your life's about. Life is not about possessing things. In Hosea 4:6-7, a beautiful verse, beautiful scripture, that explains to us what's happened. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased," and I like to say financially, "so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame." So see, as these people increased and become more prosperous in their life with their family, their money, their possessions, they sinned against God because they become greedy. And he says, therefore, I will change their glory into what? Into shame. Hosea 4, 6, and 7. Great scripture to read when you start listening to all these prosperity preachers telling you how much you're supposed to have. Just like Luke 12, 15 was, your life doesn't consist of the amount and of the things that you possess, that you own. It doesn't consist of that. That's not what it's about. We look a little further here, we can see in Hebrews 4:12 is another great example. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and the word of God now, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So listen closely. You're not going to fool God by playing church. You're not going to fool God by showing up on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, Thursday night, whenever, every time the door opens, you're there, you're involved, you teach Bible school, and you're not going to fool God if you're doing all this because you think that you're supposed to do this so you can prosper and have all this money and all these possessions, because your intent is wrong. Therefore, God says, I will change your glory into shame. See? Now, 2 Timothy, here's another really good scripture. I hope you guys are writing these down. At least the scripture verses, you can look them back up, but write down the scripture verses. 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. And the King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what's he saying there? You're rightly dividing the word of truth. You're rightly taking the word and seeing it and discerning what's the truth and what's not the truth. And because once you've got your word of the Lord in your heart, you'll be able to, and pray, ask God, Lord, give me more discernment that I can see, like the Bereans, I can see and study what I'm being told and balance it against the scripture. So you'll be able to rightly divide the word of truth from the false. Now, Ephesians, it says 5 and 6, Ephesians 5 and 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, a lot of people will tell you that what that means is you're going to have bad luck in this life. You're not going to be as prosperous as you're supposed to be. That's why things don't work out well for you. And I'm telling you, that's not what it is. The wrath of God, my friend, is hell. Now, it might have been something different in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus made it very plain. You have to accept the Lord. And if you allow yourself to be deceived because of your vanity, because you want, let's say you don't have a lot of money, or let's say you even do have money, it makes no difference. You want more, though. And you're greedy, and you're selfish. And you're only thinking of yourself. So when you hear a preacher talking about how, hey, these keys, these wisdom keys, as Mike Murdoch likes to call them, these wisdom keys will help you to get, you give $1,000, the Lord will give you $10,000, the Lord will give you $100,000 back. I can show you how it works. Send me your money. You know, if he was truly a child of God, he wouldn't say, send me your money. He'd say, let me tell you how this works. Go do it. And then when you get rich, send some of your money to help me do this other stuff. But he doesn't do that. He says, send the money first. Send me the money. So you listen to these guys talk. You listen to them preach about prosperity and goods and wealth. And so you get all greedy-minded, and you don't pay attention to what the word is anymore because you're listening to man. And what's God say when you're going to do that? What's he say he's going to do? He says, He will bring the wrath of, you will have, excuse me, you will have the wrath of God come upon you. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So when you're listening to man and listening to what he's got to say and believing it over what the word says, you're being disobedient to God, and God is not going to stand for it. God is a God of love, but he's also a God who's a jealous God. He said in his word, I'm a jealous God. And you, if you don't want to follow him, if you don't want to love him and obey him, then what do you want him to do? Save you anyway? Take you to heaven with him when you don't even want nothing to do with him? When you reject him? No, of course not. He has a punishment for you, folks. And I certainly don't want that punishment. In Acts 6 verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now the reason I bring that up is because you have to do what you need to do to rightly divine the word, to get the word of the Lord in your heart, be able to discern between good and bad. You don't want to be destroyed for your lack of knowledge, and you don't want to reject the knowledge. You need to be able to be rightly dividing of the word, and to do that, you have to give yourselves continually to prayer with the Lord and to the ministry of his word, reading his word and living his word and sharing his word. You see how it works? It's simple. It's a simple game plan, folks. But everybody makes it tough. But it's not. You find a way. I guess I would say you find a way to pick out a time in your life every day that you can spend 30 minutes with God. Whatever it is, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 30 minutes is a good time. You take 30 minutes a day. If you get up at 6:30, start getting up at 6 o'clock. Go to bed at 10 o'clock, you still get your 8 hours sleep. Get up at 6 o'clock, spend 30 minutes reading the Word of God. Reading that Word. Studying it. Do like Billy Sunday said, and I know I've said this over and over again, but take the first 15 minutes and pray to God. Tell him what's on your mind. Talk to him. Thank him for all the wonderful things he does for you every day. And talk to him. And then take 15 minutes to listen to what he has to say back. To meditate on listening to the Lord. And then take another 30 minutes and read the Word of God. Do it while you're drinking your coffee, eating your breakfast. Instead of watching the news, do this. Make time for God, folks. And if you do that every day and make it a ritual for you, make it something that becomes a part of your life. Get up in the morning. It's easier to do it in the morning because you're in bed, you wake up, and you can do it. If you try to plan at nighttime, things come up. You got to go places. Friends are over. Just all kind of things can interrupt you and get in the way of it. But if you take 30 minutes in the morning, so let's say an hour, to talk to God, to pray with God, and then to read his word, I guarantee you, you will become a knower of his word and be able to have his word hidden in your heart as your defense against the evils that are around. That's what it takes, folks, to understand who God is and what his word's all about. Hope you've learned something today. God bless every one of you. We love you so much. Go in God's way.